Thank you for downloading today's podcast from Pastor Cheryl Brady. We pray that you'll be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
Matthew chapter 11 is where we're going to go. Very, very familiar passage of scripture. Probably not going to tell you nothing you don't already know today. But sometimes we just need to be refreshed in our mind. We need to hear it again. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at the 28th verse. Thank you. And the scripture says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn about me." And as a heads up, let me just tell you, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. Look at somebody and tell them it's got to be easier than this. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you don't mind writing in your Bible, go back up to verse 28 and write the word "come." Underline the word "come." Come. And then I want you to go to verse 29 and underline the word "take." And then I want you to underline the word "learn" in verse 29. Come, take, and learn. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I want to talk just for the next few minutes, just from the subject, overcoming overload. Whew. Could anybody use that right now? Overcoming overload. Spirit of God, I don't even know what you want to do here today, and I don't know how you want to do it, but Lord, we want you to do it. Speak in here. Help us to find rest for our weary souls. We have much to do, much land to be taken, much territory to be possessed. I pray, God, as I deliver the word today, that you will deliver the people. Lord, as I proclaim the word in their hearing, you will proclaim it in their spirit. And so that as we leave here today, we leave here as one. We leave here united. We leave here stronger. We leave here being our brother's keeper, caring one for another, bearing each other's burdens. Keeping in mind that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And we give you thanks for your word today in Jesus' name. Somebody that wants to overcome overload on holler right here. Give him a shout of praise. Woo! Overcoming overload. On your way down, touch somebody. Tell them that's what I'm talking about. That is what I am talking about. Get your pen and paper out because I'm going to give you some points to write down today somewhere along the way here. But I was thinking, and I wanted to share with you this little story about our family. Several years ago, we traveled. We were evangelists, and we were all over the country. We were on the East Coast. We were on the West Coast. But back in the day, because I didn't want my children to grow up without me, or in the most influential years of their lives, I wanted to make sure that it was my voice and Bishop's voice that they were hearing, and not just a babysitter's voice or a nanny's voice or whatever. And so we took them out of school and we started homeschooling. And so they went on the road with us, and God, all along the way, God met every need that we had. We didn't even have a car that was our own, and God turned around and called somebody to loan us their car, and we went from, and it was a Mitsubishi hatchback. So can you imagine my family of five in this Mitsubishi hatchback? And on top of that, we had everything that we owned there too. So we had a big U-Haul. The U-Haul was bigger than the Mitsubishi. And we just looked like clowns. But, you know, we were in the will of God. We were young. We were happy. And our family was together. And so that was everything to us. And we were going to set the world on fire for Jesus. And we did. We loved what we did. And we watched God all along the way meet every need. And he took us out of that loaned Mitsubishi hatchback. Y'all try to say that a lot. It's not easy to say. But he took us out of that. And someone gave us a minivan. We thought that we had done touched the streets of gold when we got that. Because my kids could sit next to each other and didn't have to touch each other. And then somebody turned around and gave us a big full maxi van, and that was even greater because you could stand up in it and change clothes if you had to. So we just thought we had arrived, and then somebody else turns around and gives us this wonderful brand new RV motorhome like thing. It was gorgeous. We had beds in it and all of those kinds of things. And so we were just traveling and we were enjoying the world and enjoying the fact that our kids were being raised up in church and they were seeing the supernatural. They were seeing God move. And somebody says, well, didn't they miss having friends and doing things like that on a classroom level? And I worried about that. I was afraid that they were going to be missing out. But at the end of the day, they got everything they needed and more. And I have to give God the glory for all of that, because at least today they're all singing, shouting, praising, and serving Jesus. And they have some history with things that God did yesterday. And because of that, we look to see him do it today. If you've never known it and you've never experienced it, then you don't know what to look for and you don't know how to put a demand in the atmosphere. But when you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and you've watched him heal people and you've watched him deliver people and you've watched the supernatural power of God rest on your life, then you understand it's here, it's available. And just because as the majority of people start moving, the new generation kind of moves away from the God factor, that doesn't mean that we are going to move away from it, because we've already tasted and seen. And my father-in-law always says, I was born in the fire. And when you're born in the fire, you can't live in smoke. You know what the fire is like. And so that there is a dimension in God that is so powerful that I call it the God factor. And I was telling our team the other day, because we were talking about strategizing as we go into the next building, and how that because of parking things and just doing two services, how that we have got to kind of keep things moving. But I just stopped in the middle of all of that and I said to them, I'm gonna tell you something, we can never, ever, ever not leave room for the God factor. And I make that commitment to this church. We will always leave room for the God factor, because that's what we got to have. If God doesn't show up, I'm not that good of a teacher for you to just want to get out of the bed on Sunday morning. We got good music and we got good singing, but at the end of the day, good music, good singing, and good teaching does not destroy burdens and yokes and set people free. And we were born in the fire, so we can't live in the smoke. I can't come in and just be a seeker-friendly church where I just give you two or three steps and you go home and I go home. You might go home happy, but I go home feeling like I've missed the assignment of God on my life, because there is Holy Ghost fire that is locked up inside of me. And so that's just what it is. I look for the God factor, because I've seen him. I know him. I've experienced him. And so I'm never happy when I see church that has got diluted or church that has been watered down, and because I know what it's like to drink at full strength. You know, if you don't know what a big old glass of red Kool-Aid is with sugar all in it, woo! See, if you ain't never tasted that, then you'll be okay with the little watered down stuff. But if you ever had a real good glass where you could just taste the crystal and the sugar. Woo! I'm telling you, if you ever had a real good glass, you can't take the watered down stuff. That doesn't mean that we have to do stuff that God ain't doing just for time, you know, sake. Just like, oh, I feel like we got to be here. We got to do this. No, if God ain't doing it, then I'm not ready to do it either, because I can't do the supernatural. That's why when people ask me to come, I never let them advertise, Pastor Cheryl Brady is coming she's our evangelist, and God, we're going to have a supernatural night, and God's going to heal people and all that stuff. And I'm like, don't tell people that. Don't tell people that. Because if God does it, I'm open to it. But I am not interested in putting my name out like I got power to do all of that. I'm not interested in that. I want what God wants. Touch somebody and tell them, we want God. You know, I can't advertise stuff I can't produce. And I can't produce the glory, okay? And I can't produce the miraculous. Whatever God does, he does. And so I said all that to say that we have experienced God. We've experienced his power, his presence. And we've experienced him as being our provider. I raised my entire family without health insurance. I never once did I have a dime health insurance on any of them. And so I look back over my life and I know that it was nothing but the Lord. I look at my grandkids today who do have health insurance, and I'm like, Lord, if my babies got as sick as these babies get all the time, then I don't know what we would have done. But you know, all we had was prayer. You know, it's all we had. Didn't even have money to buy Tylenol or Motrin or any of those things. All we had was prayer, and we had to believe God to do it in our lives, and he did. And because of that, we know that he's able today. Because of what he did then, who was it that said, if he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, same God back then. And so he's that to us. He is the core of who we are. And so we got this bus that God had given us, and our motorhome that God had given us. And we were driving, and we were going cross country. It was in the wee hours of the morning. The sun was coming up. And my husband was just up at the front of the bus. He was driving. We were coming through Salt Lake City. And he was so mesmerized by the beautiful, all the scenery that he was looking at, the sun coming up, and he had never been through Salt Lake before. He was just driving, and he was just looking, and I noticed that we were slowing down. And I noticed that we got slower and slower, and we were moving at a snail's pace. Eventually, I was in the back, in the bed, in the bunk, and I seen we had pulled over. Well, I'm like, I know there's got to be a reason, because he's not like pulling over to get out and take pictures or anything like that. That wouldn't be him. But I didn't know what was going on. But what I didn't know either is that this was not an intentional pull off on the side of the road. This was more of a complaint from the gas tank that said, how far do you expect me to go having to pull this weight? And run on empty. Our gas tank was running on empty. Have you ever had to run? Do you feel like you've had a season in your life where you've been running on empty? You know, and sometimes you don't even know it, because you just get so used to doing it, but you're running on empty. And whenever you consistently, I'm preaching to myself, make no mistake about it today. Whenever you consistently find yourself running on empty, eventually you have no other choice but to run out. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your title is. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. Doesn't matter how much money you got or money that you don't got. Doesn't matter who your prayer partners are. Doesn't matter where you attend church. Doesn't matter how good looking, fine, Lord have mercy, you are. Eventually, sooner or later, if you run on empty, you will run out. It just happens. It happens to everybody. Look at somebody and tell them, life happens. It happens. It happens to the best of us. It happens to each of us. It happens to all of us. It happens to those that are saved and those who are not saved. It happens to believers, right, that come to church, that are faithful. Every week you come to church, but it happens to all of us. I would dare say that there are a lot of people in this room today, and even those that are watching me online, you are running on empty. You are running overloaded. We are the times that we are living in. Have you ever seen time fly faster than it's flying right now? This is August. It's August. It feels like we were just sitting back trying to figure out what we were going to do for New Year's Eve service. And now it is August, and time is just moving quicker. Technology, everything that's going on today is causing our days to be so much shorter. We are overloaded people. Not just in the church, not just in the Potter's House, but churches around the world, people around the world, businesses around the world. People are mentally overloaded. People are, when you're mentally overloaded, it says if all of your thoughts become one big blob and you don't even know what you're trying to think. Before you could have thought that through. If somebody said something to you, you'd say, yes, 1, 2, 3, let's do it just like this. But when you become mentally overloaded, it's like all the wires get crossed up. And now you have to work twice as hard to get out what you could have normally just spit out. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I put a paragraph up on a big paragraph up on the screen today, and I never put any capital letters, or I never put any periods, or I never put any comma in that paragraph, it would take you much longer to read it because there were no pauses. There was no distinction of where things began and where things ended. And so you would have to work a whole lot harder. We are mentally overloaded. Many of us are physically overloaded. Some I would dare say are relationally overloaded. You got too many people that require too many things for you to be a friend with them. And so you find yourself relationally overloaded. And many people are also financially overloaded. And many of us, we can't even remember. If you think, try to think back, you can't even remember when the last time was that you yourself literally felt refreshed, felt renewed, and felt restored. Even when you went on vacation, it wasn't long enough. You know, it takes you a good really 2 weeks to have a good vacation, because it takes a good 4 or 5 days for your brain to register, I am on vacation. And because we're overloaded, we don't have time to have a real relaxing vacation. And yet I know what that feels like. I walked into a church recently, and when I walked in, it was as if I wasn't premeditating it. I wasn't thinking about it. But when I walked in the door, God said, look at every face. And I started looking at every face. They were in the middle of praise and they were in the middle of worship. But I could see, it was as if every person in that room, through their countenance, I could tell they're overloaded. And so I realized that because I've been there, I realized that I'm not experiencing this by myself. I everybody's overloaded. Look at somebody and tell them everybody's overloaded. We're overloaded because every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year is packed. Think about it. It is just packed. It is packed. Nope, I can't do that. No, I can't go there. I got to get my kids over here. No, we're doing something over there. We're doing something with the church. We everything is packed. Our calendars are packed with too many expectations from other people, too many demands, too many commitments. We are the world's worst at overcommitting, too many responsibilities, too many obligations, too many activities that I got going on, too many decisions that I got to make. And we are so packed that now we don't have any margins in our life. You know, there was a time that we had margins and a time that we had borders. There was a day that TV went off at 2 a.m. Today it doesn't do that. There was a day that if you didn't get gas in your car on Saturday, you could not get gas in your car until Monday morning. I know y'all can't even relate to stuff like that, but it is absolutely true. But today we have no borders. We have no, if you want to get gas at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can get up and go to the gas station. You will find one somewhere. But now we have no margins. You remember on a sheet of paper, there were margins and you wrote within the lines because you had boundaries, but we don't have those boundaries in our lives anymore. We are always on. Yep, I'm on. We are always up to bat. People will call us and we'll answer our phone. Totally, we're totally asleep. And they'd be like, oh, hey, are you sleeping? No, I'm not sleeping. We are always overcommitted. We are always overextended. We live our life at the edge, and yes, we're living, but most of the time now, because we're so overcommitted, we don't have time for what really matters in life. Yes, I have life, but I don't really have time for what matters in life. And this is the sad part of it, is our kids are watching us, and our kids are growing up stressed out. Think about it. This generation is growing up stressed out. See, they're growing up overloaded. When I was a kid, I didn't worry about nothing. I mean, I didn't. I didn't worry about how we're going to eat. I didn't worry about what I was going to wear. I didn't worry about, do I have shoes? When I had a childhood, and I was stable. And that's why there's something in me that is a stabilizer. And if my grandbabies start getting agitated and I feel like that they're getting bothered and things, the stabilizer in me, whenever I see people's lives going crazy, the stabilizer in me jumps up because I know what it's like to have stability. And so I say that today because I feel like this generation is coming along and they're not really getting a childhood. They're like born already looking for a job. Yeah, you take applications. They're born and they're going straight to school and they're born and they're on. They're just on immediately. And so they by the time they're 10 or 11 or even 7 or 8, they're stressed out. I've seen it in the stores. I've seen it in doctor's offices. I see kids that are little kids looking there. They're all stressed out. They don't know what in the world is going on. See, that is all a plan of the enemy to destroy the mind of the next generation. They're overloaded and they're six, but they're running on empty because there's nobody there to be a stable voice into their life. They go to school all day, then they come home and they got 3 hours of homework. Can my child be a child? I want them to be smart, but I want my kids to be able to not have to go to school all day and come home and have to do homework all night. Let my child go out and play basketball. Let them go out and skate. Let them do whatever they can do to relax their mind. Because if you don't shut your mind down sooner or later, you lose your mind. And that thing is happening, that thing is happening at earlier and earlier ages in the lives of our children. And it is insane. And if someone doesn't stop and model a balanced lifestyle, then this generation is going to have shorter and shorter lifespans. They're already saying that your children's children will not live as long as their mother and father has lived. It's because we are overloaded. We are completely overcome. We lay down and we can't even rest at night because we got to think about what we got to do tomorrow. And we toss and we turn. And I came today to tell you, this cannot be the will of God for our lives.
Thanks for joining us today. For more podcasts and other ministry resources through Cheryl Brady Ministries, visit our website at CherylBrady.com. Thank you to all of our partners who make resources like this available.